Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. We thank you for your presence today, as well as for your attention to our local requirements for face masks and social distancing. Please take a look at the flyer inside your bulletin. Note that today is the final Sunday to donate food items to the Thanksgiving tree up here to your left. This mission helps many families from our mission partners at several area schools. Even if you didn't pick a leaf from the tree, any food items listed in the bulletin are certainly welcome today. Also, please see the bulletin insert to order your poinsettia to be placed here at the front of the sanctuary beginning the second week of December, and that you may then take home on Christmas Eve. Today is also the last day to place your poinsettia order. There are also some notes about the warmth tree and the food pantry drive in the bulletin insert as well. Following the 11 o'clock service today, we're asking for assistance to help set up the Christmas decorations here in the sanctuary, as the first Sunday of Advent will then be next Sunday, November 29th. Today's kickoff for the Chiefs football game is not until 7:20 p.m., so if we have enough folks to help, we should be able to finish our decorations within 1 or 2 hours, so please consider coming to help out. We'll get started right around noon today. So welcome again, folks, and now we invite Andrew to lead our call to worship. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. The Lord is good. His love is eternal, and his faithfulness lasts forever. Let us sing our opening hymn, number 16. Come, thou fount of every blessing. We'll sing all stanzas. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise to thee an altar, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. From to wander how I feel it, from to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for the privilege to worship in a tradition that we desire, and in person with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we give you thanks. While we may have differences in our worldviews and varying opinions about many things, we find common ground in our belief in you, the one true God, and the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the living relationship we have with him through the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells among us in this place. Heavenly Father, we invite the living presence of Jesus into our midst as we begin our worship. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Taking your seats, please take a few moments to turn around and wave at each other, greet each other, and welcome each other to worship today.
Good morning, everyone. It's certainly a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning on this Thanksgiving Sunday. A number of people for us to lift up in prayer as we make our way through this new week. I especially ask your prayers for Ted Gorman as he is in the intensive care unit at North Kansas City Hospital dealing with the coronavirus. It's a significant concern for Ted. Please keep him in prayer. Kathy and their granddaughter Sarah are both recovering and are out of quarantine, so that is certainly good news. Their daughter Jennifer, it seems like her case seems to be more on the mild side. That also is good news for the family, but please keep them in prayer. Catherine O'Neill is also at North Kansas City Hospital with the coronavirus. It seems that they may have caught hers in the early stages, and that's good news. She's getting the remdesivir treatment process, and apparently that's something that can be done early in the stages, and if all continues to progress well, she should be able to go to her home tomorrow and just simply be under home health care. We hope that continues to be the case for Catherine. John, we're going to be keeping you in prayer as you go to the VA in Topeka for that lung needle biopsy. We are lifting you up in prayer and wishing you the very best through that journey. And again, we're lifting up your sister, Dorothea Bixler, as she is having so many health concerns there in Twin Falls, Idaho. Our sympathies extended to Betty Gilstrap and her family as she lost her husband this past week. We had services for Jim, family only, on Friday of this last week, and Dave and Kathy Archer were able to be with us at the early service. Val Stringer's making great progress from that aneurysm repair surgery on the lower aortic artery. She is home. And a good, steady progress. Doctors are very pleased with how she's doing, and we're grateful. We want to lift up Ken Weaver, as he will be having that left knee surgery on the 30th of November. Jessica Jacobo is looking at some surgery in the near future, as is also Jesus Jacobo, surgery on his right wrist on the 11th of December for an injury that took place at work. We lift up in Larry Pitt's family, his son Brent and wife Brittany and son Mason, as they're all dealing with the virus. And Larry, we understand that your brother Corey and his wife Ellie are doing much better, right? We praise God for that and wish your son and his family the best in the days ahead. Steve Osborne is also recovering from back surgery. We want to lift up Glenn Bartley as he is looking at surgery on the 7th of December. We are mindful of the Egret family with the anticipated birth of Michelle's baby as the month progresses here. Betty Donahue's in our prayers, as well as Rihanna Ralston, Perla Mora's niece, Christina, as well as her daughter, Anna Marie. We remember Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat, Jerry Treese's great-nephew, Kenneth. We also remember J.C. Riddle, Pam Roberts, Kent Taylor, Susan Hank's daughter, Candace, Jean Cantola's friend, Marion Poston, and Ellen Stewart's sister, Linda Gash. And talking with Michelle Jacobo, she's making progress. That's very encouraging, and I think caring for her children and watching over their schoolwork certainly gives Michelle a lot of encouragement to keep moving forward. She's got a crew of young folks. She's got to make sure they get their assignments done because they're all being homeschooled now. Now that is, you know, more for her safety also, so that nothing is brought into the household. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we assemble in your house of worship to offer you praise, recognizing with humility that you are indeed the creator and the sustainer of all that is good in life. As Thanksgiving Day approaches, we remember our forefathers, pilgrims from across the ocean who joined in a celebration of Thanksgiving with Massasoit and his Native American companions. We remember how Edward Winslow acknowledged and celebrated your provision, talking about the great increase that had been provided, and also writing to friends across the ocean that by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. Certainly words of encouragement, as indeed the people had suffered so much in the loss of nearly half of their people in the first winter. As our forefathers celebrated the blessing of your provision and victory over the struggle of harsh conditions on that first Thanksgiving 399 years ago, may we also celebrate your provision for us and continually praise your name for victory over the concerns that may burden us. As a community of believers, O God, we thank you for the privilege to worship you peacefully and in the spirit of unity as Christ inspires us. And as all of us may acknowledge Thanksgiving in our own special ways this Thursday, may we especially offer our continued prayers of thanksgiving and praise as we express gratitude for what the Apostle Paul called in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, the unspeakable gift, the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise and rejoicing be lifted up to you, O God, as we offer our unending thanks and as we offer the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There is a change in the bulletin. Gail and Peggy will not be doing a duet today, but I will be singing All Good Gifts by Stephen Schwartz.
We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, oh, thank the Lord for all his love. We thank thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good. The seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. Gifts we have to offer for all thy love imparts, but that which thou desirest, our humble, thankful hearts. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, oh, thank the Lord for all his love. I really want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of your love. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you,
Andrew and Lenora. As we begin our time of communion this morning, we certainly feel the absence of the physical emblems, but we also find comfort in the words of Scripture, which inspire our community reflection. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in the eyes of our Lord. May we turn to our community reflection found at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. Be joyful always, pray at all times, be thankful in all circumstances. Everything you do or say, then, should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Our hymn of contemplation is number 718. Come, ye thankful people, come. We will sing all stanzas.
Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, does provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All the blessings of the field, all the stores the gardens yield, all the fruits in full supply, ripe beneath the summer sky. All that spring with bounteous hand scatters o'er the sunny land. All that liberal autumn pours from its rich o'erflowing source. These to thee, our God, we owe, source whence all our blessings flow, and for these our souls shall raise grateful vows and solemn praise. Come, think thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home.
For our scripture reading this morning, I've decided to change what you see in your bulletin. I'm not going to use John's account. I'm going to look at Mark's account of the feeding of the 5,000. This is the sixth chapter, verses 30 through 44. again, Mark's gospel. The apostles returned and met with Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. So he said to them, "Let us go off by ourselves to find some place where we will be alone, and you can rest a while." So they started out in a boat by themselves to a lonely place. Many people, however, saw them leave and knew at once who they were, so they went from all the towns and ran ahead by land and arrived at the place ahead of Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus got out of the boat, he saw this large crowd, and his heart was filled with pity for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when it was getting late, his disciples came to him and said, "It is already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away and let them go to the nearby farms and villages in order to buy themselves something to eat." "You yourselves give them something to eat," Jesus answered. They asked, "Do you want us to go and spend 200 silver coins on bread in order to feed them?" So Jesus asked them, "How much bread do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they told him, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus then told the disciples to make all the people divide into groups and sit down on the green grass. So the people sat down in rows, in groups of 100 and groups of 50. And then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks to God. He broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. And he also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left of the bread and the fish. The number of men who were fed was 5,000. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word as we bow our head for a moment of prayer, please. Gracious God, we are privileged to be in your house today on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. As we know, our Lord Jesus gave thanks for your provision. May we be compelled to do the same. It's in his name we pray. Amen. In Mark's telling of the feeding of the 5,000, we see great crowds of people who are so eager to hear the good news that Jesus has to offer that they are dropping their daily task and going to great lengths to follow him, and recognizing this is a time period in which so much relied upon manual labor on a day-to-day basis. We have to understand this is an extraordinary thing, to think that these people left so many tasks untended to go and see and hear the one who they've been hearing about. Throngs of people came. And on this particular day, Jesus and his disciples had not even had a chance to pause and to eat. And so the decision was made to get in a boat, likely along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and sail along the shore while some of the people noticed what they were doing. And they were seeking out a place of solace. Yet so intent were the people at following that they figured out what Jesus and his disciples were doing, and they hurried along the shore and are waiting when Jesus and his disciples once again approach the shore, a distance from where they had started. Mark chapter 6, verse 34 tells us that when Jesus got out of the boat, he saw this large crowd and his heart was filled with pity for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. Here is one more time where we see the great compassion that our Lord Jesus felt for people and for their need. He's willing to set aside his own needs, and even though he must be quite weary by this point in the day, he sets all that aside and he is eager to move forward with the task of doing what he can to help them know about God. And then verses 35 and 36 tell us that as the day was coming to a close, his disciples came to him and said, in verse 35, "It is really very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away and let them go to the nearby farms and villages in order to buy themselves something to eat." The disciples' solution to the need of the people's growing hunger and weariness was the solution that too many people have when there is a great need. Send them away. Let them take care of themselves. Yet we note that Jesus puts the need of the many on the shoulders of the few. The few, of course, being who? His disciples. We know from the end of the story that there are about 5,000 men at this gathering. This is a remarkable number, we think, for a northern rural shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. But if we count women and children, we easily could have had 20,000 or more people gathered at this particular event. Now, this is not an unheard of number, even during Jesus' day, for an assembly, because the Roman amphitheaters could accommodate 40 to 60,000 spectators. Hippodromes could accommodate over 100,000. So folks kind of knew what it meant to gather up in big groups to an extent. But we have to understand that for the rural shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, 20,000 people without any kind of accommodations is more like a Woodstock, right? You know, this is a significant concern, as you have so many people and no way to meet any particular needs. And yet, in verse 37, we see Jesus says to his disciples, "You yourselves give them something to eat." In Mark's account, the disciples respond with a rather preposterous question to Jesus, for they already knew that they did not possess the resource. In verse 37, the latter portion of the verse, they say, "Do you want us to go and spend 200 silver coins on bread in order to feed them?" In John's account, we see Jesus laying the task first upon the apostle Philip, who calculates that it would cost 200 silver coins to feed all the people that were there before them. Each of his disciples easily knew that this is the equivalent of about 200 days of a working man's wages. Now, if we modestly considered that, say, a working person with not much in the way of skills makes, say, $20 an hour, and if you calculate that at 200 days, you're looking at about $32,000 in today's terms. The disciples and even Jesus knew that they didn't have $32,000 in their back pocket. They didn't even have that line of credit in their credit card, did they? But yet, Jesus still puts the burden upon his disciples. Jesus' response to his disciples is very direct, as he says in Matthew chapter 14 as well as Luke chapter 9, "You yourselves give them something to eat." And in Mark chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus asked them, "How much bread do you have? Go and see." You see, he tasked them to look among themselves and to look it out among all the other people there and see what, in fact, is available. It's in John's account that the Apostle Andrew provides the solution of the 2 dried fish and the 5 barley loaves, a meager lunch from a small boy who may well have been rather reluctant to give up the meager yet only meal that he possessed. In the other 3 gospel accounts, each of them also come up with that same meager meal, but it is not attributed to anyone. 2 dried fish and 5 barley loaves. Doesn't sound like much, and it wasn't. We're talking about 2 dried sardines. Sardines aren't even very appetizing to me, I don't think, even when they come in a can, much less to be dried out with salt. And of course, Everyone who saw the meal here realized that this was the fare of the poor. 2 dried sardines and 5 small barley, actually cakes, not so much like a loaf of bread, more like a dried out biscuit, more like a hockey puck. 5 of them, made of barley. Barley was the cheapest grain and flour that you could get. And so again, this is a meal of very basic provision, a meal for the poor. But even with this meager fare, the text tells us that Jesus then tells his disciples to make all the people divide into groups and sit down on the green grass. So the people sat down in rows, groups of 100 and also of 50. And then Jesus did what was the custom before a meal at any time. In Jewish custom, he looks up into heaven. He doesn't bow his head with his hands folded before him. He lifts his hands up and he looks up to the heavens. That was the customary way to offer up prayer to God. And as he's looking up into the heavens, the text tells us that he offers up a word of thanks to God. Again, verse 41. Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It's as if he's holding up these baskets with them. And the text says that he gives thanks to God. He gives thanks to God for God's provision, does he not? And then Jesus follows his prayer with the action of faith. And this is really the moment of test, is it not? After he lifts up that meager meal, he then brings it down. And we know from the text that what he does is he gives it to the disciples, who are then tasked to do what? To distribute it to the other people. Very intentional on Jesus' part to give it first to the disciples and for them to be the ones who then have to pass it out. Can you imagine as those baskets are brought down and Jesus has passed it out? Can you imagine the level of doubt that was in their face? What do you mean? This is not going to mean anything. This is silly. This is embarrassing. And yet, the miracle happens in their willingness to follow suit and obey the instruction and to do what they're asked to do. And of course, we all know how the story ends. Everyone ate and had enough, verse 42 tells us. And then with verse 43, the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left of the bread and the fish. Why 12? Why 12 baskets full? How many apostles were there? There were 12. There was one basket full returned to each disciple. As if Jesus was saying to those disciples, you see, it is in thanksgiving. It is in giving thanks to God for God's provision that God will provide. And you see this basket that is now not wasted, but made a provision for a later time. Each of you has one. So then it's almost as if he's saying, now what will you do with that which you have been given? It is in Jesus' willingness to give thanks to God for God's provision that provision is made. There was an attempt to ignore the need. The disciples said, oh, just send them all away. Let them fend for themselves. There was the attempt to see how preposterous even trying to meet the need was. Oh, my gosh, this is going to be so expensive. Surely we just don't have this kind of resource. But Jesus put the need of the many on the shoulders of the few in order to help his disciples realized that in faith, if they just simply trusted in their relationship with God, if they gave thanks to God for God's provision, God would indeed provide the bounty necessary to take care of the need. In our day and time, we wonder, can God provide for our needs in our day? So easily, we say, oh, let somebody else take care of it. And send people on their way. So many times we think, oh, that need is so great. Oh, there's no way we have the resource to take care of that. Surely, everybody continues to say how unprecedented 2020 is, much like 1919, 1918, unprecedented circumstances then as well as now. We are humbled by the fact that now that we have topped over the 12 million case mark of the coronavirus, we have the highest percentage of coronavirus cases of any nation in the entire world. Over 20-some-odd percent, depending upon which report you read, of all cases throughout the world, but yet we only possess a little bit more than 4% of the world's entire population. We have now hit the mark where 3.6 of our nation's population is known now to have the virus. Surely we're in a situation where none of us are exempt from knowing someone who has the virus or indeed has lost a loved one from the virus. We wonder how that need will be cared for. We wonder about how the economic needs will be cared for in this country, or indeed in other parts of the world. But yet, the model that Jesus gives us in the feeding of the 5,000 is the model that will work for any and all needs as we progress through the generations of humanity. Jesus saw the need, and he said to the few of his disciples, you take care of the need. You have the means. Oh, send them away, Jesus. Oh, it'll take a boatload of money we don't have, Jesus. What do you have? Jesus asked. And from the meager offerings of a child's kids' meal, Jesus first, he offers up thanksgiving to God for God's great provision. But he doesn't stop there. He then takes the resources that are available to him and he says to his disciples, share this, spread it out. And it is in the sharing that the need of the many is met by the few. When we think of our healthcare workers, they are the few that are striving to meet the needs of the many. When we think of those who've been the army of scientists and medical professionals who have been working to come up with a couple of shots, they are indeed the few who are working to meet the needs of the masses. But whenever we think of economic want, we have a few who have an abundance beyond measure in this world and in this country, do we not? There is absolutely no need for anyone to go without whatever the need is. if we follow the example of Christ. As Thanksgiving Day approaches, may we find great hope in the example that Christ our Lord has given to us. He took what seemed to be a little bit of nothing. He offers up thanks to God, and the miracle provides for all. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day that you need to become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's the number 719 in your flyer. Come sing a song of harvest. We'll sing all stanzas, please. Number 719.
Song of harvest, of thanks for daily food, to offer God the first fruits is old as gratitude. Shall we sometimes forgetful of where creation starts, view science as our Savior, lose wonder from our hearts? May God, the great Creator, to whom all life belongs, accept these gifts we offer, our service and our songs. And lest the world go hungry while we ourselves are fed, make each of us more ready to share our daily bread.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning to offer up praise to God this Sunday before Thanksgiving, as we are mindful that it certainly is a privilege for us to do so. We want to remind you that those of you who may be able to come back after the 11 o'clock service, it would just take us a short period of time to set up the decorations we need to begin the Advent season, which is starting next Sunday. Isn't that hard to believe that here we are at the doorstep of Advent? And wish you the very best as you journey through this week, whatever you may be doing for Thanksgiving. I hope it may indeed be a safe endeavor for you and your loved ones. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, and for that we do give thanks. Guide us as we depart and journey forward in the task at hand this Thanksgiving week. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks.